Thank you for listening to the Preparedness Radio Network, brought to you by the Wondermill Company and its world-renowned products that make better flours. The Wondermill Electric Grain Mill and the world's number one rated electric grain grinding machine. The Wonder Junior and the Wonder Junior Deluxe, world's best and fastest manual hand grinders, and the Wonder Mix Kitchen Mixer and Blender combination. Wondermill's newest kitchen appliance that makes home cooking and meal preparation easier. These Wondermill products will increase your baking and recipe selections as you create healthier foods and tastier menus with fresh homegrown flours. Whether you need to be prepared due to natural, man-caused, or personal disasters, preparedness saves lives. Thank you for listening to PreparednessRadio.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Did you see this? The EPA wants to regulate water in our ditches now. Our ditches are dry most of the time. There's hardly ever any water in them. That's enough.
That's enough, no more power play. That's enough, we more government anyway.
Tell the EPA it's time to ditch the rule. Ditchtherule.fb.org. This is a message from the Missouri Farm Bureau. Contact them at 573-893-1558.
Would you like to take your power back through law of attraction and following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as Wicca, and sovereignty? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the government, the media, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and remember who you are? I am Reverend Joanna Johnston, an ordained minister, certified quantum healing hypnotherapist, law of attraction coach, NLP trainer, psychic intuitive for over 20 years, priestess and founder of the Illuminating Mind Society and Temple, here to guide you every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to inspire you and empower you to raise your vibration right here on freedomizerradio.com. Call in number 347-324-3704.
All right. Welcome to Barefoot is Legal for another week. Tony, how are you doing this week?
I am blessed. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Doing well. Doing well. The weather's starting to cool down. So.
Yes.
that's nice. That's nice to have a break. I typically don't mind hot weather, but there comes a point when it's nice to have a change. I don't like it really cold either, but I've, as I think I mentioned last week, kind of adapted better to the cold since I've been going barefoot. So I guess I don't mind it as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I enjoy the weather change, especially whenever it's warm in the day and cool at night, and I'm allowed to go barefoot on the concrete. My feet can adjust to the temperature, so that way whenever my physical body is thrown into that thrust of weather change and stuff, that it can better adapt and...
Yeah.
Not throwing myself into the cold and flu season like everybody else does.
Yeah, exactly. It actually kind of surprises me as well when you're talking about how you can go barefoot more. I don't see more people when the weather changes. When it's so nice out, I just would think you'd see more people. But at least here, I'm not seeing it.
I don't see very many people go barefoot. I mean, I know a lot of people that refuse to go barefoot in their own home.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the funny part is there's more and more credible evidence, you know, from people with PhDs and research studies that are showing all the benefits.
Yes. So, now, one of the studies that I was reading on this weekend was something we touched on last week, you know, about being barefoot with autism in the sensory. I don't remember the name of the study or who was the scientist or anything behind the study, but the study had covered how a child's foot and spinal cord, you know, like the vertebrae and everything in the back and the hips and the bones in your, of course, we know that the child's body does not fully develop and bone structure and everything until they're older. But it was covering the basis of how important it is to allow your children to go barefoot as much as possible up into the first 12 to 13 years of their life so that they have a stronger bone structure.
And that's true. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I've seen many articles like that, and I I don't think people really realize how important it is. But one thing I can say, it's funny, it's that I say I haven't seen many people going barefoot, but I have noticed smaller children, parents with smaller children, I've seen at least a few of them now, that are, you know, the age where they're carrying them so much, or maybe just past that, where they are going barefoot. I've seen a few of them. The parents aren't, but I have seen a few, and I don't know if it's related in any way. I did notice the parents were pretty much wearing, like, minimalist-type shoes, so they might be getting some of the information, would be my guess. And because of social pressures, they probably figure they can have their child barefoot, but they probably can't in their, you know, based on what they've experienced or what they believe they'd experienced.
I know one of the little girls that comes over and plays with Bree, her stepmom had said that barefoot is not healthy. Told Sam, I was like, well, I said it's actually healthier to go barefoot than it is to put on shoes.
Yeah. In fact, you could provide that information if you wanted to. I mean, it's all out there.
Well, she's getting it from my daughter, because my daughter is the one telling her when they're out playing, take your shoes off, detox your body for a little bit, regenerate.
Yeah.
You know, my 11-year-old daughter is out there saying, hey, take your shoes off and enjoy it.
And the challenge is people have been, you know, pretty much it's been ingrained in their you know, entire life that it isn't healthy. You know, and really to me, when you step back and think about that, just knowing what we know about the body or anything mechanical, it doesn't even have to be the body. Alterations are what typically cause problems, whether it's biomechanical or regular mechanics. You know, you're going, if something was designed to work a specific way and you change the geometry of it, it's going to wear. It's not going to perform correctly.
Now, I noticed the connection and the timing of whenever shoes became the pressure of society. I don't know how else to say that. But about the same time that they started pressuring the vaccines on people, it's the same time that they started pressuring shoes on people.
Oh, yeah. And I do believe to evolve. And, you know, probably when medicine first started to really evolve and they had high-powered microscopes and they saw all the germs and bacteria on people, they probably were like, we can't have this, you know. But they didn't understand it, you know, because we're pretty much thought to think that things like crawling on us would be invading us or bugs or something. But I go back to, why would we have 90 trillion microorganisms on or in us at any given time? They have purposes, and they've learned that they have purposes. And the bizarre part is the ones that are hurting us are typically the ones that have sort of been altered, you know, because genetically altered turned into superbugs because we've tried to fight them in certain ways, or we put them in an environment like a shoe. There's some bacteria that grows in shoes that you never get barefoot that's way worse for from you. I saw a report once where they showed if somebody stepped on a nail barefoot versus if it went through a shoe, a thin sole of a shoe or something, that the type of bacteria in the shoe was going to cause way more damage to the person.
Yeah.
So we're actually creating the superbugs in some respects by trying to avoid them.
Yeah. Like one of the aspects of your feet have the ability to detox your body. So if you have a headache, there's a pressure point on your foot that you can address to, you know, rid yourself of the headache. Sinuses, stress, I mean, there's all these different points to your feet, as well as you have some points in your hand. If you think about this on how they've introduced the antibiotics, I mean, how many parents out there do you know that as soon as their child has a sniffle or anything, they're running to the doctor to go get an antibiotic?
Right.
Instead of, you know, doing, you know, things like my grandma used to do. I mean, I know she used to give me shots of whiskey, and people were like, oh, no, you can't do that. I'm like, well, you know, I was a sickly child, you know, from the way I was born, but, you know, I was considerably healthy at the same time, you know. And I guess people don't really get that concept, that when I was born, the doctors didn't think I was going to live to see to be 3 months old. And then I spent a lot of time with my grandma on the farm running around barefooted. Okay. So, I mean, I did not get colds and flus and everything like that. But if I had any issues, because I was born in the position I was born, they think is what caused it, but it may not be, with scoliosis. And discomforts of growing pains increased with scoliosis. And if I had a fever or anything with my scoliosis acting up, she would give me a shot of whiskey. And that would be it. The fever would run its course and nothing else would happen. But all these people over here, you know, they're just, how can I say that? They just run for the pharmaceuticals, which actually have worse ingredients in it than what whiskey would. Okay?
Right.
But then you have points in your feet to where, like, if you have anything, say, like a virus or something, you could slice an onion and put on your foot. You know, just put a sock on it or a wrap it or something with an ace bandage or something to hold the band, the onion in place. But instead of doing what grandma used to do, you know, they're running to the doctor to get something that is so much worse than, you know, what they call old wives or whatever treatment, however they call that today.
Yeah, but like old wives' tales or whatever. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's
but
funny.
You know, that stuff works.
Right. I truly believe that, you know, you mentioned the points in your feet and your hands. I truly believe they're the diagnostic tools of our body. Just like a car has a diagnostic port where they plug the computer in to see how everything's working. You know, it tells you what codes are bad and what's going on. I think
mm-hmm.
the connection to the ground and the microorganisms interacting and the fact that every organ in our body is connected through our feet points to the fact that it's like a diagnostic tool, and it helps
mm-hmm.
us adjust what is needed to solve the problem. I think the early stages are reflexology, you know, talking about if you massage an area or whatever. I think that's partially true, but I also think it's only those areas are really there to communicate with the earth.
Yes, they communicate the nerves and everything. You can take all the medicine in the world you have for migraines and nothing's going to work. But you hit that foot, you hit the spot on your foot just right, and it's instantly gone.
Yeah, so it's all connected. And I'll be honest, I grew up believing that too. I was the first one to run to get an antibiotic. I didn't even know what it really meant, you know, until I got really looked into it. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's, we were just like, you don't question it. That's what the doctor tells you to do. And you feel better when it happens. Gee, it must be good for you.
Yeah.
But the actual effects it's causing, the, you know, it's just like these, all these commercials showing something that'll solve a problem, and then they list like 50 other things that'll do that are 100 times worse. Always
yeah.
You know, like, I think I'd live
yeah.
with the problem I had versus taking all that. You know.
Yeah. But, I mean, when you think about antibiotics and everything, I mean, think, just look at the name. It kills out the bacteria that's in the gut that your body needs. And then if you don't,
yeah.
if you're taking an antibiotic and you're not replacing that bacteria, and then you keep your feet in shoes, but your feet are absorbing all those bacteria, you know, that is not good for your body because those are harbored bacteria that thrive in moist or unhealthy conditions versus running barefoot to where you can get the nature's bacteria, you know, then, you know, people, I mean, they sit there and they don't know why they're sick. Well, I went and got the antibiotic. You know, I've been on an antibiotic for 3 weeks. I'm like, have you tried any probiotics? Have you soaked your feet in Epsom salts? Have you, you know, all these different things I can suggest to you that you're going to look at me like I'm a nut, but yet you're going to keep popping pills in your body without, you know, questioning, you know, what your body's actually telling you.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, we were, at least I was, brought up to believe, you know, doctor says it, that's what you do. And to be honest, a lot of the things that I'm talking about now, earlier in my life, I would have scoffed at. I would have been like, no way. And I'm not a, quote, you know, accredited expert. I'm not even going to say that my theories are 100% on target or anything. But when you've actually lived for quite a while and then have seen the changes, seen things that you've never experienced before in your body and the world around you, from something as simple as going barefoot, as an example, that's a testament that's hard to argue with. For as far as a person to themselves. So I know it may be a hard thing for somebody to swallow listening out there that, you know, it could be that important. But until you've tried it, until you've really done the research, it's hard to believe.
Well, I know. I didn't even do the research at first. I just noticed, I made the connection, hey, I'm having issues with the shoes on, I'm going to take the shoes off, and then I'll be able to tolerate more of what I was doing. Like,
right.
My neighbor
my
today
research.
Was mentioning, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, go ahead.
My neighbor today was mentioning how he can handle wearing shoes, but he can't go to Busch Gardens and spend the day in shoes because he'd be in so much pain or what have you. And I'm like, well, I said, have you considered possibly going barefoot? And he was like, no. He goes, but I may have to try that. He goes, because I know if I go to Busch Gardens, I'm going to be limping and in dire pain afterwards. But if you know the terrain, the heels, and all the walking and everything that consists at Busch Gardens. And I'm like, well, I can't do Busch Gardens unless I'm barefoot. I said, I can do Busch Gardens all day if I'm barefoot. You put me in shoes, I won't even last an hour. You know?
Well, it's fortunate that they let you down here. Disney World, it's like they have like a police force against going barefoot, it seems like. I've read so many articles and so many stories of people being approached and literally told they couldn't be there without shoes. So that's fortunate that that's not the same.
I don't know if it has to do with them having so many water rides or roller coasters that, you know, they prefer you not to wear flip-flops on. And a lot of people come in with flip-flops. And I guess they prefer you to go barefoot over wearing flip-flops, you know.
That's a good point. Maybe that's actually a good thing that will catch on in other parks. Because, the flip-flops are way more dangerous on a ride. They're more dangerous in general, but on a ride.
And Busch Gardens is particular about their safety. I guess with my husband working there, I understand a little bit better on the safety points that they take on a ride, which only certain things are recommended. You know, this is the requirement that Busch Gardens takes not just one or two steps more, they take four or five steps more on safety.
Well, sure.
They're
makes
very
sense.
Particular.
If you're Busch Gardens, you know, especially with the social media these days, you know, you don't want to take too many chances. Most companies don't anymore. It really, that actually has been one of the positive sides of social media, is it's, you know, a good check and balance. If something gets too far out of control, you know, if somebody's doing something like not taking care of the ride or whatever, you know, before mm-hmm. it may have been one news story that was saw by a very small fraction of the population. Now it gets out there and it gets all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, there's good and bad points to that, but so that is good. I mean, you can literally walk in the gate without shoes and they won't give you any hassle, or do you bring them in, I'm sure? Or,
well, they inspect you as you come in. So whenever you have a bag, they inspect your bag. Some people, they have a wand that they run over and stuff. Because, you know, they don't want you bringing in any weapons or anything. But
yeah, my question is, have you actually
walked in barefoot?
In? Okay, and they haven't questioned it?
No.
Good for people out there to know.
I mean, it's kind of like going through an airport, you know, before you go through the scanner or what have you, they want you to remove your shoes. You know, so you just, you know, making a step ahead or what have you, however you want to look at it. But, I mean, I just, times I've been, I've walked in barefooted past security guards and everything.
Good. Good to know. I was just wondering if they would, you know, have, if it was an issue at the entrance or not. So.
No.
That's good.
Not that I've
had.
Yep.
No.
And I don't know. I'm sure that not everybody that works there knows that my husband works there. So, and I'm sure that it's not employee favoritism, you know.
No, I'm sure not.
So.
I know a friend of mine that went to a football game recently, and they wouldn't let in without shoes. So they ended up having to go all the way back to the car and the whole bit. But, you know, because they do those inspections as you go in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good to hear that you didn't run into that problem.
Yeah. they had an issue at court last week.
Yeah,
no,
you're
cell
saying,
phones, no drinks, no flip-flops whatsoever.
I'd be like, okay, that's not a problem. I won't wear flip-flops. Here's your alternative.
I'm just like, well, it's either these or I go barefoot because that's all I've got. I mean, I think I own one pair of tennis shoes, but they were at home, and I couldn't even tell you where they're at. But I went barefoot in the court building anyway. Should have seen the look on the guy's face. So I held my shoes up and I'm like, well, it's either this or barefoot. I said, it's up to you.
It's funny. A few years back, I had to go to the dentist, and I left enough time. I was coming home from work. I left enough time to change. And, changed out of work shoes, and I was just going to put flip-flops on. Couldn't find them to save my life. Couldn't find them. And it was just like, I am not putting these work shoes back on, period. So I just went barefoot. Didn't get the slightest problem. Didn't get the slightest problem. Not a problem at all. It was just funny, though, because I hadn't intended. I truly was going to wear flip-flops, but I couldn't find them to save my life. This was before I really was doing the flip-tops and had the backup ones. I was just literally going barefoot at that time, but I couldn't find any to save my life.
Well, I noticed the neighbors around here, they'll make comments like, I'm freezing. Like, I was sitting here talking to one of my neighbors last night. And I'm out here barefoot. And he was commenting, he was, well, I'm going to have to go in. I'm freezing. And, I mean, he was clothed. I had on a tank top and I'm barefooted.
Off.
And
yeah.
I was like, are you not cold? I said, no. I said, to me, this is perfect. This is comfortable. You know, I'm not cold and I'm not too hot. And typically I get hot really easy. But, you know. And then I had another neighbor. He was out walking his dog and, you know, it was at night, and I mean, I don't know how he noticed sitting on my steps, just breezing through, just outside getting some night air and everything, and his first comment, he was like, how can you handle that, being barefoot? And I'm like, what? I mean, it was, what, only 68 degrees? It wasn't cold. I'm like, why? It's comfortable. And he was like, he goes, oh, I couldn't stand it. It's too cold out here. And I'm sitting there like, this is perfect. You see me with shoes on, you know it's cold outside. Or if you see me with shoes on, you know the pavement's too hot. You know?
It is funny, though, because that's exactly what we were talking about before.
Don't drink bubbles.
When I started going year-round barefoot, I was walking in St. Augustine with my wife, and I started to notice people were shivering, and she was as well. And I had a light jacket on because we knew it was going to get colder in the evening. But I honestly was not uncomfortable. It didn't even cross my mind that it was getting cold. And here's everyone around me shivering. And that's when it kind of first hit me that I used to be the first one to freeze. And as I've mentioned before, you know, is it circulation? Is it, I believe that a lot of your temperature is regulated like a thermostat through your feet.
It is. I mean, if you have a newborn, I mean, that's the first thing you cover is the feet and the head.
Which is, you know, counterintuitive to a certain degree when you think about it. You know, as people, we sweat to cool ourselves down. And I truly believe that when you cover your feet and your body is reading that your feet are at 105 degrees, even when it's 30 degrees out, it's like open up the pores, you know. You may not feel sweat necessarily coming out of them because it's still cold. It's going to, you know, dry so quick. But I've noticed that stinging feeling I don't seem to get as much as I used to. And I think it was the breeze hitting, you know, opened pores.
Because if your feet are covered, I mean, your body's got to breathe some way.
Well, it has to, it has to pick up. How does it know when to turn the sweat on and off? It's like we have to have a thermostat. And I think our nerve endings are our thermostat. And since you have the majority of them in your feet, if you put your feet at 105 degrees and you're in 30 degrees, what is your body doing? It's confused is what it is. It's like, I don't know what to do here. And
your skin also works, because your skin is a tissue. It's an organ. And your organs know what they need. So as you're digesting food, your organs are going to sit here and, absorb what they can from that food that those organs need, and then they're going to pass by what they don't. The same thing with your skin from your head to toe. You know, it's going to absorb because it absorbs through the air. People don't realize, I haven't touched anything. Well, it was in the air. You know, your skin is absorbing just like your feet do. So if your feet are not able to accommodate the body the way they're supposed to, then your body is going to make up for it in other ways.
It's going to try to, exactly, but literally can't.
Yeah, kind of like, the overall concept of what they're doing with vaccines is they think that, we have to help the body do this. Instead of having the person eat the foods that they need, they're going to come up with a medicine or a vaccine for it. But, for the flu and stuff like that, all you need is increase certain types of foods to increase certain vitamins like, your body needs to build up the immune system. But they want to alter it. And your body knows what it needs, and it can communicate to you to tell you what it needs. But most people are trained to ignore what their body says. Like whenever I went to the doctor, several times on so many occasions during my pregnancy, the high-risk pregnancy. And at this time, I'm still, considering what the doctor is telling me, thinking that they know best and everything, even though I didn't always agree with it. Well, I kind of accepted the fact, that people were telling me that I just didn't want to accept it. Okay? So I'm sitting here like, I just don't want to accept this, so I still need to at least listen to the doctors. So I was trying to do that, but the doctors would tell me whenever I would tell them, certain things and everything, and he was like, I don't know how you're able to tell me how in tune you are in your body. He goes, I'm just amazed because nobody else has been able to tell me this. He goes, you sit here and describe, you know, telling me what your concerns or the issues you've been having. And he goes, but I, whenever I'm checking you, he goes, that's perfect. He goes, knew what was going on with your body.
It's funny you say that because one of the experiences I learned about in doing pet rescue is I've learned that for cats, you're supposed to try to give them some cat grass, and a cat will only eat it if they have a specific deficiency. I can't remember exactly what it was, but you're supposed to have it there in case they need it. But if they don't touch it, it just means they don't have that deficiency. So there's a perfect example of their body is telling them somehow to eat that cat grass because they need something out of it. And if they don't, it's telling them not to, which to me is pretty amazing. You know?
Yeah.
We have to take a quick break, and we'll come back. We encourage people to call in when we come back, and the call-in number is 347-324-3704. Again, 347-324-3704. We would look forward to hearing from you in about the next 5 minutes. It would be great. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break.
I like the way you grow with no pesticides. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it. No diggity, no doubt.
We've got squash and peas, calling it a pack for all your bees. Melons you wanna squeeze? Yes, please. Yes, please.
Hey, now that plant looks good. I wanna grow it. I wanna taste it.
My kind of girl.
Yeah. Peaceful Belly Plant Fair 2014.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden. PeacefulBelly.com. Support your local organic farmers.
And we're back. And that last one kind of tied in with our discussion, talking about organic farmers and actually eating better. Just salt
and peaceful bellies.
Yep. Yep.
Our guts
so
and everything
important.
are connected, just like our feet is connected to every organ in our body, including, you know, our skin, which is an organ. Then, you know, our brain and everything else. Our gut is also. The chemicals that are found in your brain are also found in your gut. And if your gut is in balance, then your brain is in balance.
Exactly. And it's funny you said that, because I saw a medical article that literally described the gut as your second brain. That's how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is
the
number one connection. Whenever it comes to autism, that is number one connection that the doctor started to look for. Who was it? Andrew Wakefield, who had first discovered and started making the connection, and then other doctors ridiculed him, of course, and he was mocked tremendously. More and more of the increase of everything, you know, that's what they're noticing, is the irregular bowels and the increase of Crohn's disease and all these other things that are connected to digestive issues. But, I mean, if we did a study on people with digestive issues, on the number of people that went barefoot, I mean, I wonder if there would be those connections, you know.
Yeah, that's very true. Mine are usually self-inflicted if it's a digestive issue.
I know that Parker and Brianna, their attitudes improve. And, I mean, there's other things that I can, you know, say, okay, this is whenever they wear shoes, this is what I see. Whenever they go barefoot and they're enjoying themselves and comfortable, this is what I see. I mean, overall, it's improved.
I can definitely believe that. It would be interesting if there could be studies like that. It was not exactly the same thing, but I remember somebody saying once that they did a study on the bacteria found in shoes, and then they compared somebody going barefoot, you know, for the same time, same places, the whole bit, and it was like 10 times worse on the shoes. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that can definitely explain that. But I think there is a correlation. You know, we are just beginning, I think, to understand just how complex we are. And the funny thing is, I think typically, if you can relate it to everyday things, you know, in our world, it's not so far-fetched. You know, you think about the communications we're doing right now on a smartphone, you know, the internet, the connections that are made, the, you know, literally, I don't know the number, trillions of, you know, amounts of information that bounce all over the world every day. Why would our bodies be any different? Why would they be? They're more sophisticated than anything we've ever created. So.
Oh, yes, they are a lot more sophisticated than any computer that or anything man has ever created.
Exactly. Yeah, we're way away from that. But,
and for, you know, to me, I'm sitting here now, you know, in my 40s, and I'm sitting here like, okay, I wish I would have, you know, ignored the doctors a lot sooner. I would not have had, you know, to go through what I've had to go through, but I've learned the hard way. And if I can keep someone else from having to learn the hard way, you know, leave, you know, just listen, you know, I've been there. I've got the T-shirt and everything else to prove it. I mean, a huge, thick medical file that goes along with that.
Well, that's great. Exactly. It's like pay it forward. Mine's similar, you know, maybe not to the same extent or reasons, but, you know, the plantar fasciitis that everybody complains about that I had, it was excruciating. The thought of just getting out of a chair, I literally would have to always think on about what I'm going to grab, what am I going to hold on to, because once I have that shock of pain that goes up my body, I need to have something that's going to support me. Here, because I could literally, my knees could practically buckle. I literally have zero, not even the slightest, but zero pain now. Doesn't exist.
I have very minimal pain now. But whenever, with the MS, whenever it was flaring up, the ability, I couldn't even roll over. And it really wasn't so much due to pain, but as far as not being able to even wiggle my toes. And then sometimes that was connected to pain, and sometimes it was because I physically just had no control to communicate to my toes that I wanted to move them.
Well, yeah, yours was definitely more involved. You know, mine was more of a biomechanical issue, but it still shows in either case that our body, you know, can adjust and can grow and can do things.
Yeah. And like the doctor said, that your myelin sheath, that's unrepairable. The lesions on your brain are unrepairable. But I've been able to repair mine. I have a coating of sheath, and the doctors are just like, we don't know how to do that. I mean, we didn't know that was possible, you know. Just like with dentists, they say that your teeth cannot repair themselves, that once you get a cavity, then your tooth is destroyed. That's not true. Coconut oil can actually reverse the cavity. And I use coconut oil and MSM cream on my feet. You know, the things that medically they cannot explain, but yet nature, you know, things are possible where in the medical field they're not.
The medical field has not learned how to communicate with the 90 trillion microorganisms that are actually doing that work. I think that's a big part of the key. But that's, you know, if you look at the organisms individual, they look insignificant. Just like if you look at, you know, a resistor in a big electrical board or something, seems insignificant. You know, does one small little thing. But you put them all together in the right sequence, and amazing things can happen.
Yeah. So like if someone has an imbalance of red blood cells, all the white blood cells and stuff, you know, there's things that you can eat in your food that can increase those levels. And, you know, they have the opposite as far as what they try to do to balance the levels out to where they need to be. As well as the bacteria in your gut. You know, first thing that they do, they want to give you an antibiotic, you know, instead of saying, okay, which bacteria do we need to build and which bacteria do we need to, you know, try to flush out?
Right.
Which that's the whole purpose of the probiotics, is they will overpower the bad bacteria and kill them out.
Yeah,
you know,
it has
and,
to specifically target, and that's what they will do.
So, people, like, I'm like, okay, well, I've got the kids on a probiotic, and they're like, oh, so you don't use an antibiotic? I'm like, not unless I need to. Like, when my daughter was being attacked by the dog back in August, the antibiotics that they gave her, she could not take. You know, she had reactions to them. And they were informed of this before they even gave me the prescription, so I'm just, at this point, okay, just forget it, you're not going to listen to me. So I'm not even going to argue the point. So I did olive leaf and grapefruit seed extract. And when we went to the plastic surgeon the other day, she had her appointment, and he was asking what antibiotics did they have her on. And I told him, well, they gave her the antibiotics, but she was allergic to them, so she could not even take them. I was like, so what did you do? And I said, I used mainly olive leaf extract. I said, but, at the beginning, I also did the grapefruit seed extract mixed in with a probiotic and kombucha. or Kabuka, however you pronounce that. Anyway, so he was like, okay. And then he was looking at her scars, and he could see, you know, the stitches. She had issues with the stitches that were in her wounds. And he was just really frustrated overall by how the hospitals had done. And it was like, all of this could have been avoided. He goes, but I can't do anything plastic surgery-wise until after a year. He goes, she's going to have to deal with this for a year. He goes, but this could have been prevented. And then he scheduled her for a small procedure next week to address one of the wounds that is still aggravating her. She can barely just brush it, and it blisters up. So he's going to go into that and see what it is that's causing that. He thinks there's a foreign body debris that needs to come out. So, and he was like, okay, so on the antibiotics and everything, he was like, I'm going to tell you just to go ahead and keep up with the olive leaf. He goes, I've never heard of using olive leaf as an antibiotic. He goes, whatever you did a great job with. He goes, as far as her healing, you know, she healed great. You know, there's no sign that she had any infection from the wounds. I said she didn't. I said the irritations that she had was from the stitches. It was not from the wounds or the dog or the bacteria. And he was like, well, whatever you're doing, he goes, keep it up. I'm not going to prescribe you an antibiotic or anything, but I just want you to make sure that you have what you need on hand for the procedure so you can start that 2 days before she goes into the procedure.
He goes,
I'm amazed. He goes, I'm going to have to look into that.
It is funny. I mean, you know, I think about it. You mentioned earlier if they did a study on people that go barefoot even. I heal amazingly quickly. In my adult life, I mean, you know, I do animal rescue. I get tore up sometimes. I literally get tore up. And, you know, the things that people be rushing to a doctor or a hospital, or I literally heal from, like, practically overnight, a couple days maybe. Even some of the deepest gashes. So, and I know other people don't, you know. So, and
now,
I've
some
never
people
once,
are slow healers.
And I've never once had, you know, any of the, you know, like the cat scratch fever, which is a real thing, or none of that. And I literally get, but then again, I have built up that resistance because I'm around them all the time. You know, I work with them every day practically, or at least every week. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yes. Once your body has built up the immunity and the resistance to things, but if your body is not allowed to operate the way that God designed it to, then, and if you're not willing to adjust how you do your body so that it can, then you're going to have to rely on man's methods of doing things, which is going to be a greater hindrance than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope and I believe, you know, with our medical science as it progresses and they learn more about it, you know, more, you know, because of all the information that's coming out now, you know, they'll be able to target things better, and it won't be the magical pill approach. You know, there are some things that they've learned and really made advances in, and it makes sense to use, but when you have to. But at the same time, there's so much we just don't know. And I don't know how long it's going to take mankind. I think at some point we will.
Well, some doctors are already on that. You just have to be able to find them.
That's true. But I mean, the one,
I can't even find a pediatrician right now. So, you know, one of the things they wanted me to have follow-ups and stuff with pediatricians. And it's, at least right now, I don't have the issue with going to the doctor's appointments barefooted, because I went to the ER. I was both the hospitals barefooted. Went to the plastic surgeon and to the counselors and everything else. Everywhere I've gone barefooted. Didn't even carry in a pair of shoes with me, and no one has said anything. But if you call a pediatrician and you just look like they insist on the children being vaccinated, I'm like, I'm not vaccinating. I'm like, okay, well, you'll have to find another pediatrician. So I pretty much just fired my MDs. I had one back in Texas, Dr. McKnight, and he did not push the vaccine issue. He respected me on all that. He did not even do vaccines in his office. So if you wanted vaccines, you had to go somewhere else. And that was known by all of his patients, but I cannot find another doctor like him in this area.
Yeah, I'm sure you've done searches on the computer and tried going that route to look for alternatives, maybe like pediatrician alternative. I would believe they'd have to be some. But, you know, I think a lot of doctors, just like I see with vets, you know, it's their, I don't think they, at a conscious level, think of it this way, but it's their income to do, to push all these vaccines, you know.
Well,
how
a lot
does
of
that
them
make
it
its
is.
Money? Same with kids, you know. Part of the thing they've been taught has to happen. And
yeah, like with the rabies again, vaccine for my daughter. Okay, you know about the rabies vaccine for animals. But after my daughter was bit by the dog, they wanted to push the rabies vaccine because the dog was out of date on his vaccine. And instead of doing a titer test or a titer test, whatever you call them, and testing the amount of the vaccine or to see the resistance or anything that has built up in his blood, they just wanted to push the vaccine on my daughter. And that's a step process. That's not just a one-time shot, you know. And I think overall that was more traumatizing to her than anything, because I was distracted and the nurses just barged in there and just started putting the needles in her after I'd said,
Lord.
Oh, no vaccine, you know. I said, no, we're not doing the rabies vaccine. So anyway, she only had the one dose, but for that one dose, they profited. Like, if I would have done all four or whatever steps it was, like there's three or five steps you have to do for the rabies vaccine, if I would have done all of those, they would have racked in over about $20,000.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess,
I mean, they
the
get paid
that,
to vaccinate.
Right. You know, it's, I know what you're paying for is all the research and all that behind it, supposedly, but that's just insane.
There's actually no research. There's actually no research, no studies that have ever been done to prove the safety of vaccines or the ability of them to work.
But, we're definitely a vaccine and pill happy society.
Yeah. There's over, there's roughly 250,000 people at any given time, like right now. Most everyone you meet is going to be on one prescription at least.
Yeah.
And like with the doctor the other day for the plastic surgeon, the nurse asked me, so what pharmacy do you use? I don't use a pharmacy. I guess you could say maybe the farmer's market or, you know, farm fresh or fresh market or something. I don't know. But I don't use a pharmacy. How do you not use a pharmacy? I don't do prescriptions.
When you think of the correlation, that's very similar to, you know, shoes. People just can't imagine. Yeah, it's just so ingrained that that's part of society.
Yeah. Like, there's one time I was going in, I don't remember where we were going, maybe Lifeway back in Abilene, Texas or somewhere. And it was winter out. I want to say that it was icy even or something. Anyway, somebody had made the comment. They were walking in behind me, and they said, oh, you just get your feet done, you know, thinking that I had just had my nails or, you know, pedicure or something. And I said, no. And they're like, what? I'm like, no. I said, I haven't had a pedicure, you know, over a month. And they're like, but you're out here, you know, you're barefooted. I'm like, yeah, so? You know, they tried to analyze in their minds that I must have just had my feet done. That's why I was barefoot.
Oh, yeah, it is
funny. Like, no.
A lot of people can make a connection to why they think that might be it. Just like if somebody's carrying shoes, like, oh, they must have broke or hurt or whatever, then they can rationalize it. Other than that, it's just not even something that people can understand.
Yeah, and it's common to see kids going around barefooted. You know, kids don't like shoes, so if they don't have to have shoes on, they're not going to have shoes on. But, you know, we should actually be listening to that instead of saying, put your shoes back on, you know?
Yeah, and you think about it, that goes back to the comment I made about the cat grass. The cat is not going to use it unless it needs to. Why do kids always want to go barefoot? They know, they don't know intellectually why they want to, but their body's telling them, you know, to. Unfortunately, the parents are telling them not to. their bodies are telling them, you know, why is it something that's so prevalent that they just want to do? It's not something they learned, you know, not from a, not from other people, typically. But their
body
sure knew
they instinctively know that they want to be barefoot.
Yeah, just like that cat knows whether it needs to eat that grass or not. We're going to be the ones that come in as the higher order and tell them not to.
Thomas Jefferson that quoted, the doctors of the future will no longer treat with medicine, but they will treat the human body with food.
I'm not familiar with that one, but that makes it sounds like Jefferson. Something he'd say.
I'm sure I didn't quote it properly either, but the same concept.
Yeah, we're both similar that way. We're good at the paraphrase, you know, knowing the concept around something, but the actual details, finding, going back. But I'm sure, as you have, done tons of research on it. In fact, we're getting ready to come up on our next break, and when we come back, I've shared in the chat room a couple of links to videos that are out there on YouTube that are from prominent. One discusses, you know, that it is legal to drive without shoes, and this is coming from prominent sources. And the other is also from a prominent source discussing, you know, why it's important for us to go barefoot. So
okay.
We can discuss that when we come back.
Did you see this? The EPA wants to regulate water in our ditches now. Our ditches are dry most of the time. There's hardly ever any water in them. That's enough.
more government anyway.
Tell the EPA it's time to ditch the rule. Ditchtherule.fb.org. This is a message from the Missouri Farm Bureau. Contact them at 573-893-1558.
Would you like to take your power back through Law of Attraction and following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as Wicca, and sovereignty? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the government, the media, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and remember who you are? I am Reverend Joanna Johnston, an ordained minister, certified quantum healing hypnotherapist, law of attraction coach, NLP trainer, psychic intuitive for over 20 years, priestess and founder of the Illuminating Mind Society and Temple, here to guide you every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to inspire you and empower you to raise your vibration right here on freedomizerradio.com. Call in number 347-324-3704.
All right. And we're back.
Okay. How's everyone doing?
I know a lot of people, you know, listen to this after, you know, they don't really always hear it live, but that's still good. You get the information. But if you are listening live, please feel free to call in. Our number is 347-324-3704. Always love to hear from you. Okay, as I mentioned just before we went out on the Freedomizer link, in the chat room, I put two video, and actually I'm putting, I know this is a radio show, so you can't really see a video, but I'm putting out the links out there just as an example of some of the good information that people have went through the trouble of putting together. The first one is called Barefoot Connections by Isabel DeGroote. And she's talking about, you know, the primal lifestyle and how as our bodies developed, it was really more to do with us standing on 2 feet and running. Our brains actually developed later to be larger than other animals for the most part. It was the fact that we, you know, our feet, the importance of them and how we could out yet that's the word I'm looking for. Now, outlast, you know, we can run. Other animals may be able to run faster, but because we sweat as a person and because we can run on two legs, we can outlast them because we were actually running down animals and killing them larger than us before we had spears or bow and arrows. Anyways, that was part of what they were talking about. What they were really talking about was how important the structure of our foot is and how, you know, we ignore it these days. So a good one to watch. The other one was on, I came right off of NBC, was they did it on Is It Legal to Drive Barefoot? And they literally stated what I think most of us here always knew is, yes, it is in all 50 states. I believe it's Arkansas is the only one that requires it for a motorcycle, although I think I probably would wear them on a motorcycle myself. But
yeah, I think if I was on a motorcycle, I would make sure that because there's so much that can happen on that one.
there's definitely, definitely, you know, I do believe using them as tools, and to me that would be right up there with a leather jacket or something for a motorcycle. But anyway,
or like leather gloves, you know, if you're working with certain types of equipment, like with farm equipment and stuff, you put on gloves. So, I mean, if you've ever ridden or rode a motorcycle, then you would understand what we're talking about. But if you haven't, you most likely won't.
Yeah, so that's the one. But as far as an automobile, no, it's not like you're going to get any more protection.
I mean, you'd wear a helmet on a motorcycle, but you don't wear a helmet in a car.
The person that actually asked the question said, is it illegal, because they feel in more control because they can feel the pedals, which I 100% agree with.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of the reason why I drive barefoot. I mean, try to drive, especially if you have heels on. I mean, wow. I just don't know how some people can even walk on them, let alone drive in them. But, I mean, even driving with flip-flops. I mean, if your foot slips or something, if you've got a position, if you have a clutch and everything, then you risk your flip-flop getting caught. And then that restricts
yes.
your ability to react and your speed of being able to transition from pedals.
That one I definitely agree with. I mean, the heel one, intuitively, I can agree with. But the flip-flop one, definitely, I cannot imagine driving with them on. I don't know if I ever have, to be honest. But just something that, it just is dangerous. You know, where did we get this idea that removing our sense of feeling something, the whole way we adapt to holding and grasping, think of the challenges people run into when they lose their feelings. They don't know how hard to grab a glass. They can either hold on to it too loose or crush it practically because they have no feeling and can't, gauge that. It's a very difficult thing. But literally, that's what we're doing when we drive, when we put shoes on. You're literally...
Yeah.
Blinding your feet, your body from that interpretation of knowing, how much pressure to apply.
Now, you think of that as speeding connection. Some people are just speeding because they think they can get somewhere faster, but, you're going to end up at the red light at the same time anyway. So it's like one of those things, like, okay, you just passed me up, but, yeah, here you are. You're at the same red light I am, so you're in the same place. You didn't really avoid anything. But whenever you have something that restricts as far as how you can sense pressure and everything else, I mean, you are more prone to speed wearing shoes than you are going barefoot.
Yeah, I can believe that. Or improperly braking. Either too much or not enough.
I mean, I do use my brakes. Then if I know I'm coming up to a stop, I just take my feet off and I let the car downgrade. And then I don't press on my brakes until I need to. But I know people that sit there and they constantly just pump their brakes. And, I mean, it's like you're playing Frogger as a passenger. It's just like, oh, because passengers can't sense what you're doing and everything. But you're pressing on the brake, but your passengers are just going all over. I don't know what it's like to drive with me, so. But I know
we're
I've had people behind me that say, "Oh, well, your brakes. I think your brake lights are out," and I'm like, "Are they?" And I check them, and he was like, "No, they're working." He goes, "That's funny." He goes, "I was riding behind you back there as you were coming up on the yield." He goes, "Your brake lights never came on." I'm like, "Oh, that's because I didn't press on them." But he was amazed that I was able to take the exit and, be able to stop at the stop sign without even using my brakes.
Yeah, it's definitely less wear and tear on the car, too, to be not using the brakes as much.
Now, people associate wearing shoes with less wear and tear on your feet.
It's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It's more wear and tear on your feet. And that's the part I think people really don't understand at this point, or why we're here to help educate. Next week, I'm going to try to get more of these videos together And again, you can't see them on the show, but we can provide the links in the chat room. I was just speaking with not too long ago, and he had mentioned that he will be on prior to us next week. He's going to be holding a session for people in the Society for Barefoot Living to kind of come on and, you know, give their points and views and, you know, how the group is run and so forth. So, you know, next week we should hopefully have a larger audience, and we want to make sure we provide them with some good information. So I'll put this out there for everyone out there. Be looking, you know, look for things that are, you know, information that's really, you thought was fantastic, really good, you know, the ones that stand out. And I had talked to Proof within the Society for Barefoot Living or the Barefoot is Legal of creating kind of like a video library with the links, because some of it's really good information. And probably goes with my ADHD, but I'm more of a visual learner, and I think a lot of people are as well. And, you know, people have went through the trouble of making these, and some of them are just really good. Again, that I really encourage people to look at the two that I put out there this week. And I know, Tony, you're having some challenges with the chat room, but hopefully you'll be able to get in there.
Mm-hmm. I was able to get into some other chat rooms, just not the Freedomizer one. I don't know what's
weird. Up. Probably want to get with Proof. He can probably solve that for you. I'm sure he could. Because, like I said, next
I was able to the one time after my computer, after the Geek Squad had worked on my computer, I had an Apple. I was able to the one time, and of course, it was a test run, and it wasn't when we were doing a show, so.
They probably used an antibiotic on your computer, and that was the end of it.
So, I know they took off the old hardware and they put on, updated it. I was an elk or something, you know, however Apple does those for the Mac. I had elk on there, and I think I have pink flamingo or something on it now. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never been the Apple user. Not that I have anything against it. I just don't. And I know people love it, so I'm not trying to even. But I just don't honestly know about it that much.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can use an Apple and a Linux, but as far as HP, I can't stand them. And then whenever they came out with, you know, their look alike to the app, you know, the Apple apps and everything, and I'm just like, what were they thinking? This is by no means a comparison.
And this may be one of these things where I need to educate myself some more, because I've heard that from many people on there. They really like their Apples, and
I won't use anything else.
So, you know, that's something I probably need to come up to speed on. But I'm so frugal, I have to wait till mine wears out. And
mine's old, so I make sure that I keep it, you know, taken care of, so because I cannot afford to replace it. So
I have something that kind of backfires on me when it comes to replacing things. I'll say I'm going to wait till it wears out. And a good example is we've been in this house now for over 20 years. And when we moved in, the refrigerator was about 20 years old. Looked like it was on its last legs. And I told my wife, what we'll do is when the refrigerator goes out, that's when we're going to redo the kitchen. You know, because we'll let it go as long as it'll go. And then we'll redo the kitchen. Well, it's still running. So, needless to say, the kitchen has not been redone. But
I wonder if people would use that same aspect. Yeah, I mean, that is It sucks if she was wanting to redo her kitchen right away, though. But being a woman, it's like, okay, you know, I needed to overhaul this. And the kitchen is one of the number one things. If my kitchen is in disorder, then I am in disorder. And nothing else in the house is going to work because my kitchen is out of order. Okay. I don't know why it works that way, but it does. You know, similar to how our bodies are. If our feet are out of order, your body's going to be out of order.
Well, fortunately, the kitchen wasn't really out of order, but it was just going to be, you know, updated some. Mm-hmm. It's still in the same state. eventually, maybe, but or that it'll outlive us, which I'm not complaining. It is definitely working.
Well, I made the mistake of going upstairs last night, and the children's bedrooms are upstairs, and I get up to the top of the stairs, and I'm just like, no wonder you guys don't want to sleep in your own beds. And I thought you were just needing mommy time. Nope.
Oh, they need new, is that what you're saying, they need new beds, or did I miss?
Oh, no, they've just, the entire upstairs, from the time you get up the stairs, the hallway, and their bedrooms and the bathroom, it's just, oh, my goodness. It looks like the aftermath of a tornado. And,
oh,
you know, whenever they go upstairs and I say, okay, and I'm like, okay, now go clean your rooms. And I just have to wonder, what were they doing upstairs when they were supposed to be cleaning their rooms, taking everything out of the rooms and sitting in the hallway? You know?
I think that's something that's in that's something that genetically we all have when we're children as well, is there's something that's built into us that says, do not clean your room. So maybe that's the way we're supposed to get the biotics growing in our room. I don't know.
Man. But I'm just like, okay, I'm not dealing with this. We're going to Shenandoah this weekend, and maybe I can rejuvenate my mind or something to where I can handle this, but I just cannot mentally nor physically handle this right now. And
so did you say next weekend you're going to Shenandoah?
We're leaving tomorrow morning to go to Shenandoah for 3 days.
Oh, okay. For some reason I thought you said next for 3 days. Well, that should be good.
Yeah, so we'll leave tomorrow and we'll be back Tuesday.
Maybe have some good stories to fill us in on next week.
Oh, hopefully.
Hopefully
they'll involve some waterfalls. I need some nature right now. I'm tired of this concrete world.
I don't know. They might tell you you have to wear shoes to go to a waterfall these days.
Oh, I don't know.
You,
I was
you,
thinking
you
about having the kids do some geocaching and stuff, so I have no idea.
You can't have that water slamming down on the top of your feet. They'll have to be covered. So,
oh, yeah. Like my husband with his work shoes, you know, he works, you know, bush gardens, and, you know, there's times that he's out in the rain, and then there's some areas that, you know, they have water rides, and, you know, he is around the water, so he really needed waterproof shoes. But, you know, people think, oh, well, it's raining outside, you need to put shoes on. Why? They're going to get wet.
I've got waterproof feet.
You know, so it, you know, but if, you know, if people use the same concept, it's okay. I'm not open to the barefoot thing yet, but how about, you know, whenever my shoes wear out or whenever my shoes bite the dust, then, you know, I'll consider it or something. You know, if they would just try it, you know, just for 30 to 45 minutes a day, you know, that I know that they would see improvements.
Well, that's the key. You know, try it and build up to it. You know, your body has to readjust. I can remember when I first started going barefoot, especially in public, you know, something as simple as a store, you know, going to the freezer aisle was kind of a shock to me. And now I consider it a welcomed experience, you know. To,
mm-hmm.
But since my body wasn't used to that, it just threw it off at the time. But, you know, if you slowly build up. So that
mm-hmm.
is good advice, you know, just each day.
Yep. I know there's some people in the Facebook group for Society for Barefoot Living, I believe, that some of the people have, you know, just started trying going barefoot in public. And, you know, they kind of felt a little rebellious and everything. And I'm like, okay, so, you know, this is one aspect you can take. If you need to, you know, still kind of blend in with society, but yet need to feel a little bit rebellion in you, you know, like, yeah, I've still got it, you know, or what have you, go barefoot. Now, yeah. There's very few places that I do not enjoy going barefoot. And Costco is one of them. I guess Sam's would be the same way or what have you. But I love going barefoot in the beach. I love going barefoot in the grass and in the mud and in the dirt. So what is the big deal about going barefoot in Costco? I don't know, but it's just it's concrete floors. And, I mean, what? I go barefoot on concrete all the time. But their floors just feel so gritty and dirty.
It's funny you mention that because one of the Home Depots down here, it's the same way. I can go into Lowe's all the time or even into another Home Depot that had a different floor. But there's one that I do not like the feel of. So, but I agree. So, I mean, we all have our preferences there, but I'm the same way with that. So it's probably similar to that. It just feels gritty and doesn't feel right. And,
mm-hmm.
But yet some other places I'm perfectly fine with.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I noticed that the other day at Costco, and I'm like, okay, so is their floor just really this dirty? Or what? Because it did not look dirty. You know?
That's funny you mentioned that, because one of the things that became an epiphany to me as I started going barefoot more is I could really judge a place by their floors.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and very obvious, very quickly, how well they maintain their stores. And some
mm-hmm.
of them are amazingly clean. You know, it's like they must be cleaning them after every customer, practically, feels like. But, in fact, down here, the majority of them do feel that way. But mm-hmm. there are a few places where even I'm like, I really don't want to be in here.
Yeah, especially with carpet. I mean, you can feel how clean carpet is.
I'm not much for carpet, period.
I can't stand carpet. I do not like it at all. I think it is of the devil completely.
Yeah.
It harbors germs. It harbors, you know, all this stuff, and it just traps it in there. So.
I can remember my
kind
first
of like
house
you're doing when you put shoes on your feet. You know, the carpet is shoes for your house, and it's just harboring the germs.
Yeah. Like my first house to show my age. Had that three-tone brown shag carpeting. What a mess.
Yeah, the young people of today have no idea. We had to walk 3 or 4 feet just to get up to change the channel on the TV through that shag carpet.
Yeah, too funny. Yeah, the concept of going to the TV to change a channel, that doesn't exist anymore. In fact, some TVs, I don't think you can, or it's very hard to figure out how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now these TVs, you have to know where the buttons are, and they blend them in.
Yeah, that's the thing, because nobody uses them for that purpose. You just don't, you know. I can remember when remote control was a serious luxury. People just didn't have those, you know.
Our ceiling fan has the option of going by remote or by the switch. One of them does. The one in our bedroom doesn't have that option. You have to have the remote. So if I need to turn the light on and I don't have a remote, then I can't turn the light on. You know? But the one in the living room, he had it set up to use the remote, and then somehow or another the remote got into something and we could not find it. And as he was taking this box out to recycle it, he found the remote. So he had already taken the transformer out of the ceiling fan so we could do it old school.
I think my fans are as old as the refrigerator, so they're not exactly remote.
We didn't have the ceiling fans in here when we moved in. Now I have to have a fan. And then we had gotten one of the little top fans that you can put up because I have to sleep with my feet uncovered. I cannot sleep with my feet covered. And I have to have a fan on.
You have to be able to hear that.
I've
read something about that, too, that says you will sleep with your feet uncovered. You'll sleep better. So I can believe that. I do, even if it's cold or whatever. They're always out because I can't sleep covered either. Can't stand it.
I mean, I can be bundled up everywhere else, but my feet have to be out from the covers.
Exactly. Same here.
We had one of those little fans that we'd gotten at, it's supposed to be a cyclone type fan that we'd gotten from Lowe's, and we didn't have that 2 months and it burnt up. So I'm like, okay, well, this is one of the top of the line fans. We're just going to have to put a ceiling fan in here. So that's what he's done, and I've slept better since then. But
ours run
it's
all
just,
the time.
They didn't have the option to go with one without the remote. I mean, that was the...
Wow.
I'll be in
for a culture shock.
Yeah, okay. Now, what are they going to do when they invent these shoes that you can fly and everything, you know, like Back to Future or what have you?
Oh, God, let's not put it in shoes.
I'm just like, okay, people are going to forget how to walk before long, you know? They already have these little mobile carts that, you know, like mobile walkers that, you know, you stand on them. Like, what is that, Mall Cop or whatever it was?
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. What are the name of those things? I can picture
them.
But, yeah.
And then, you know, it's been like when we grew up, we had scooters. I mean, have you ever ridden, remember growing up and riding skateboards and bikes and everything barefooted?
Mm-hmm.
And now they have these power scooters, you know, and little power mopeds and everything else. You don't have to walk anywhere anymore.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, though, it's been out of necessity because people are wearing shoes. The shoes have made it so hard and so uncomfortable to walk that, you know, the next progression is you're just not going to walk. For digression.
And then you'll be more dependent on the elites that are pushing this agenda.
Well, that's one thing, you know, it's funny when you mention that. One of the things I have noticed is when I am walking barefoot, especially if it's somewhere where it's really comfortable, which most places are for me, I just want to keep walking. I mean, if I'm with other people, they'll be plain worn out, and I just want to keep walking. I'm just feeling so good and comfortable and, you know, taking the day in and everything. I've definitely found that. You know, it's been amazed, but, you know, you're carrying that extra weight. You know, you think about, you know, even though a shoe may not seem like it weighs that much, plus you're walking incorrectly because of the way it's designed, you add all that together, I'm sure you're going to be worn out. It definitely wears you out.
Well, you got to think about it. Your body is designed to walk on a certain consistency material. And the shoes now have these air pockets and gels and everything else to make it feel like you're walking on air, which actually is keeping your joints from doing what they're supposed to be doing. And a lot of people aren't realizing and making the connection that they're losing cartilage in their knee when they're wearing shoes and everything else, you know, not feeding their bodies properly by either what they're putting in for food or what they're putting in, you know, as far as on their body. Because, like it or not, when you put perfume on your body, you're feeding that to your body. When you put lotion on your body, you're feeding that to your body. So when you put the shoes on your body, whatever's in that, you're feeding to your body.
Definitely.
You know.
And
but,
we've come to the end of our show, Tony. They're giving me those warning signs. And
I don't even know what time it is.
It's that time. It's right at the top of the hour. So we better be good hosts and jump off and give our next group. But next week, like I said, and let's get together between then, Tony, so we can be very prepared. We'll, you know, because like I said, proof will be on beforehand. It'd be good to have a good show, especially if we get people that stay on for us. All right.
And then
well,
just kind of follow up after his, you know, on the same just carry it over.
Right, exactly. Okay, and thanks again, and we will talk to everyone next week.
Everyone have a blessed week. Bye.
Bye all.